Empire.
Hello and welcome to my podcast. Do me a favor, subscribe to the John Kahn Report wherever you get your podcast. You're watching on YouTube, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. You can find us there as part of Empire Media. That's A-M-P-I-R-E. Always much appreciated when you tune in. And don't forget, you can read my work on ESPN.com. On the Commanders homepage, we have analysis of every free agent signing and how they fit within the Commanders' plans. So go, and it's the signings and re-signings. So guys like Jeremy Reeves, Efe Obada, et cetera. All on there. Go give that a look. And if you want to become a member of the show, go to the Empire Media YouTube page, hit the word join, and find the level of membership that you want to hit. So there you go. In a minute, I'll be joined by Nikki Javala from the Washington Post as we discuss the busy week that was. I'm hard-pressed to remember a busier week in free agency for Washington. And part of that is because they had the cap room, but they also had so many holes to fill. And just, I wanted to talk to Nikki about it. You've heard my thoughts all week on it. Let's get someone else who's smart to come on here and talk about it. And that's Nikki. By the way, you can read her work on the WashingtonPost.com. You can follow her on Twitter at Nikki, N-I-C-K-I underscore Javala, J-H-A-B-V-A-L-A. And give her a follow, give her a read. She's really good. In a minute, we'll get to that. But the one thing I found interesting on Friday, and I don't know necessarily what to make of it, but what I do know is, well, Minnesota acquired a second first round pick. They want to move up in the draft. To me, that was a requirement to have that pick. I don't know if that's their plan. I have no idea, but I know that they need a quarterback. And I know that they're going to, if you want to entice somebody to move back, whether it's Washington, New England, someone else, then you would have to offer a lot more than what just the 11th. I think it's the 11th pick. And I think they got now the 23rd, I think it is. But they needed to get that if you want to make it enticing for somebody to move back this year. Don't know if that's going to happen. I just found that particular move interesting. What does it mean? Because there's always you always wonder, why are they doing this move? And could it be for something like that? Yeah, I'm sure if you're Minnesota and you want to move up, you had to have that. Don't know if it's going to work for them. Don't know if who might trade back. Don't know if Washington would do that. But I just found that them acquiring that second first round pick an interesting move going into the draft. Anyway, that's it from me. So here's my conversation with Nikki Javala from the Washington Post. Trades, free agents, quarterbacks, and all kinds of adventures await the Commanders this offseason. Looking for an adventure of your own? The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring has you covered. The country's largest ropes course and zipline park, located in Montgomery County, Maryland, is now open. Named Best Amusement Park and Climbing Destination in the DMV 2 years in a row, the Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is perfect for birthdays, corporate outings, groups, and families. With challenges anywhere from beginner to expert, there is something for all skill levels. Anytime you're thinking about reaching new heights, make sure you know before you go. The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is the only ACCT accredited park in Maryland or Virginia. Staying on the ground, give axe throwing a try. You can throw at traditional targets or play any number of interactive games. You can even upload your own image. So there you have it, folks. Climbing, ziplining, axes, food, and bonfires right in your backyard. Reserve your adventure today at www.theadventurepark.com/kind. That's www.theadventurepark.com/kind. Well, now, so Nikki, I used to say that Michael Phillips was America's podcast guest. I think you're replacing Michael. And I have to tell people, like, going through your publicist this week was awfully difficult to try and get
requests.
So I appreciate it.
Say yes to everybody. So.
But there's a reason people like to have Nikki on, including myself. And so you'll find out why I say that in a few minutes as we start talking. But the other thing is, too, I don't know if people knew this, but Nick and I were thinking about starting a podcast about household toys we like to talk about, starting with, power washer, steam cleaner, and then the shop vac.
I'm so jealous you have a steam cleaner and a shop vac. Yes. I need one.
So look for that podcast. you know, wherever your podcast is found. Like, we'll probably do that in about 5 years or so.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's talk about free agency, because I think people are probably already turning me off by now. What did you think of this week for Washington? I mean, it was, I don't remember having as busy a week from a football standpoint in free agency as we've had this week. But what did you think of the week that was for Washington?
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm glad you added that clarifier. We've had busy weeks.
It's yes, yes.
About other yes. things.
Right.
It's impressive, honestly. I mean, I think they made more football moves in 1 week than maybe all total over the last few years. But it for the first time in a long time, it felt like there was a plan, a longer term plan, not just let's put out some fires here, fill some holes there. It seemed like they went into it with, you know, sort of a multi-year plan on how to not just like address some issues with the roster, but completely overhaul it. They only signed so far 3 of their own free agents. And they brought in, 14 others so far?
I've lost track.
And they've addressed positions of need. They've addressed depth. They've brought in some starters. They've brought in guys that are familiar to them, which, you know, I know Ron Rivera took some heat for doing the same thing. But, you know, these guys, I think, were handpicked for largely their leadership and really setting a tone on both sides of the ball to, you know, help develop a younger core. They've said they want to build through the draft, and what they've brought in so far clearly allows them to do that. I know a lot of teams talk about that. We want to build through the draft. We want to do this, but not everyone does that. You can clearly see them doing that and sort of laying a foundation with these veterans that are on shorter deals and creating an environment where you can really develop young players for the long term.
And, you know, it's funny because the familiarity part too, and I was talking about this with someone the other day, like the way free agency is now, where they don't visit teams anymore, very rarely.
Yeah, very
so you want to know guys who you know before, like you don't want to find out later that they're a mismatch like William Jackson.
Right.
But it's also coming from multiple teams, not just one organization that hadn't been winning. But the other part is you talk about a plan. What is it? What did you see as the, and I guess, I think we all kind of know what the plan is, but how did you interpret that? Like what the plan is and what you saw from that?
I think it starts largely through building through the draft. So you bring in these guys who, you know, most of them are known for, you know, their work ethic, their leadership, guys that were maybe drafted later or even undrafted that have really worked to prove themselves as either starters or really quality depth players. You look at like Nick Allegretti, started in the Super Bowl, played through an injury in the entire Super Bowl. Not a starter per se, maybe could work to that level. If not, he's played pretty much all over the offensive line and he's a good reserve to have. You look at Bobby Wagner. I mean, he's what, year 13, still incredibly productive. Maybe not the same Bobby Wagner he was in his prime in Seattle, but he's known as the ultimate leader. He's still a quality player. You bring him in on a short-term deal, he can set that tone on the defense, and he's that vocal leader that I think they've sorely needed for years. You bring in a Frankie Louvu, opposite side of him at linebacker, an undrafted guy who's really proved himself, was primarily a special teamer, reserve linebacker, and has really proved himself as a key starter and one of the most prolific tacklers in the league. So I think there's a lot of upside with guys like that. And there's a lot of value in the older vets who can set the tone and are on 1 or 2 year deals to help mold the next group.
You talk about the leadership too. And I agree with you. Like they've been lacking that for a while, and Wagner might not be the all pro guy he was. He's going to be better than what we've seen here.
I mean,
yeah, and it is pretty low. And I think, but the three of them too, it's also, what are you counting on him to do? And when you get Louvu and you have Jamin, you have guys that also, like Bobby Wagner doesn't have to be an every down player, you know? And so, but that leadership thing, when did you notice that, like, they really need somebody like that?
Yeah. And like, I'll be honest, this is going to be shocking, but I'm slightly cynical. So I know, So I've always kind of had the view that, you know, when there's this talk of, oh, you need the leadership, you got to build. I hate the word culture anymore, so don't even start me on that. But,
Drink.
You know, I've always been in the view, okay, these are grown men. They're doing their job. Do they really need like a rah-rah guy? And I realize that there's different forms of leadership. But you, this was the year that, I'm glad you asked, this was the year that I really, you really did notice it. Mm-hmm. Because they did have, especially on defense, a lot of young guys on the back end. You know, having Sam, a young guy at quarterback, I think it's much more difficult for guys like that to really step into that, you know, that team voice type role when you're new and young. But when they go through adversity, when you see guys make mistakes, when you see guys that, you know, they're not on the same page on defense, things are not going well, things are tough, things are frustrating. You can see things starting to fray a little bit in the locker room. Who's going to step up and tell them to get their you-know-what together? They didn't have that person. They have guys that will maybe chirp and, you know, get in guys' faces, but that's not necessarily what you need. Right. You know, you need somebody to kind of galvanize the group and really set the tone for the young guys that are coming in. This is how you work. This is how you study film. This is how you take care of your bodies, you know, away from the facility. You know, this is how much time you have to put into the game to be great. I don't feel like they had that.
And I also think Nikki too, is what you also need are guys that can cross the aisle. Like guys who can be, you know, who can, there aren't a lot of guys who I think can do that. I think like when Alex Smith was here, I think he was a guy that could go up to a defensive guys and talk to them, you know, and which sounds silly, but you don't always get that. And I think right. like, you know, guys like Will Compton, Will Blackman back in the day were like that. I have a feeling, London Fletcher, like I have a feeling that Wagner, I think that's more of his reputation that you can. So how, like, don't you, you know, that to me is important to have guys who can kind of
absolutely
not just be a linebacker leader or a defensive guy, but a guy who can be a team leader.
Yes. And especially on a team where you're going to have a young quarterback, probably. I think it's paramount. And I think, you know, you look at the staff, I think that's what Dan Quinn seems to do quite well. I mean, just in hearing these guys talk and, you know, I know you asked a couple of questions along those lines during these pressers, you know, what allows Dan Quinn to, you know, really relate to both sides. I mean, he's a defensive minded coach. I think having been a head coach certainly helps with that. But, you know, he's talked about football wise, how being defensive minded has helped him on the offensive side. But, you know, just in hearing from, you know, like, you know, Tyler Biadasz, I hope I said his name right.
Biadasz.
You know,
and
just
Teeler.
Stop it. just in hearing from him on, you know, he came from the Cowboys. He said a reason he came here was Dan Quinn, you know? So I think you're starting to see how this staff is building, you know, this roster methodically too. But yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You need that leader who can be more than just a voice for their own group, but for the team as a whole.
But you know, it's funny. I was on, I can't remember if it was Bram's show or JP show. This whole week was crazy. I mean, I have conversations that I know I had. I don't always remember with who. It's a good thing I write stuff down.
Yeah, but I don't even know what day it is, so.
Well, I think it's Sunday, right? Or no,
it's Saturday. Saturday?
But one of the things that I was asked, like, you know, does this signal that they believe not so much that they can win this year, but they're not settling for being a, you know, 5-win team or something like that. So what do these moves signal? What to you this year do these moves signal?
I think to me, it signals that they're thinking about this year and next year and the year after that and the year after that, which, you know, and this is no disrespect to Rivera or the previous regime, but it did feel sometimes like they were kind of winging it. And a lot of times they had to. There was so much going on with this organization. I know, you know, not to be the ultimate Ron Rivera defender, but I think people sometimes forget how much was going on off the field. And he was the sole voice of the team. Yes, he signed up for that. But it is a lot when you're talking about, you know, multiple NFL-led and federal investigations and everything else. So, you know, unfortunately, I think, you know, some of the on-field coaching, development, roster building, I feel like it should have been more of a priority at times than it was. But I feel like they do have the staff to really focus on that. And the way they've gone about you know, selecting the free agents so far and how they said they plan to approach the draft, to me, it signals that, yeah, they want to be better now, but they also want to set this team up for, you know, a lot of good years. You know, you have to set the tone now.
Right.
And I don't know that was done before. I think they brought in some key veterans that, you know, maybe they hoped would set the tone, but it didn't work. So
I agree. I think setting, you know, and I always say now it's like identity / culture / whatever, just so it's not just so much emphasis on the one word anymore, because I know people got tired of it, but that is what you're trying to do. It's not just a, you know, there's a workplace culture, there is, but it's a, how do you want things to look in your, right. You know, right. organization, in your program. Right. So was there a move? Which move of these 3,000 moves that they made, do you just wait? Is there a player that they brought in that I think you like, this is the guy that I think that, you know, could be.
There are two, actually. I mean, ironically, both from the Panthers. I really like Frankie Louvo. I think there's even more upside. He's had a couple really good years in Carolina. I think he could be really good in Quinn's defense. And I just think it's good that they brought in somebody that prolific in the middle of the field, because that's been their glaring weakness for a long time. And I also think, you know, if depending on what they decide to do with Jamin Davis, I think it could help him, you know, and really, especially with Wagner there. So I think that was a quality pick. I also really like Jeremy Chinn. You know, he's still fairly young. He had a breakout rookie season, was second to Chase Young in the Defensive Rookie of the Year ratings. I mean, I think last year, I know there was some frustration about his playing time and whatnot in Carolina. I think if used the right way, he could really be an impact player, especially, you know, with Cam Curl now in LA, having sort of that versatile safety back there, I think could be really good. So I'm curious to see if he can get back to more like what he was, you know, 3-4 years ago.
I'm with you on that. I love the Louvu signing.
Yep.
I think he's going to be really good. And I was watching a lot of him this morning just to see his pass rush. So like, this guy's going to be impactful in that way. And I think the way they're going to possibly use him, and not just with him, but with him in conjunction with some of the linemen they're getting, who we're not talking all pros with the ends, right? You know, you have some guys inside who are pretty good. So I think the combination of all those guys give them options. And I think Chinn does the same thing. I'm with you. And I talked to somebody else who they just somebody in the league, somebody who coached, somebody who knows this stuff, is like, those were the two guys that they mentioned as well. So be for the same reasons that you said. And I think Chinn gives them that flexibility, you know, in the, now the word no longer is positional flexibility. Now it's just versatility.
Versatility. Take it up. Yeah. Know?
But Quinn wants to use three safeties, and now you have your guy.
Yeah.
Will you, I mean, I think I know the answer. Were you any surprise with the Cam, Kendall, those guys leaving?
No. I thought Kendall Fuller was probably their best defensive back over the last couple of years. I mean, outside of maybe Cam. But Cam kind of, to me, was more of like a pseudo linebacker recently. Kendall is very good. A smart player. A good veteran for what they needed at the time. I thought there was maybe a chance they might look at him on a one-year deal. But, you know, the deal he got obviously is way better. I think he's still a very good player. I do worry about how long his knee is going to hold up. I mean, he puts in a ton of work to make sure that he is physically ready every week, and I'm sure it takes a toll on him. Cam, the only surprise to me is that, you know, given what he ultimately got, which is around $4.5 million a year, and his base deal, it was a $9 million base, 13 max value. I thought maybe they would try to, you know, give him at least that. But I'm still not surprised that they, you know, decided to move on. I never thought he was, you know, a 10 or more year player. He's just not. And then once the safety market flooded, it just made things even more difficult for him. But listen, Cam is a very good player, a very versatile player, reliable player. unfortunately, these deals are based largely on numbers, and he didn't have the numbers of some of the top safeties. I think he can get there. I think he can, you know, get those numbers in LA and maybe get another big deal in a couple years. But
I also wonder too, Nikki, and this is the part that I'd like to know more of, like, what were the numbers being thrown around before free agency? Because what he gets is not necessarily what was being thrown around. Because that I think typically it's going to be a lot higher in their own minds about where it can go. Yeah. And so if somebody's looking for that, then you've got to move on. So once he hit free agency, I think we all figured he was gone. And I'm with you on Kendall. Yeah. Kendall, I think both of them are very smart. I think that was one of the things. And, you know, but with Kendall, I think the knee, I think for a long 2 years is not a long-term deal, which is what he got in Miami. But I wondered the same thing is, could you go, because they have to fill that now. And yeah. That's the one thing that, how are they going to fill that? Like, what would be, how do you view that spot now, and where could they go, do you think?
I mean, I would like to see them still sign a veteran free agency in this next week. And I think they could, you know, maybe like a Stephon Gilmore. I think he's still available, right? Get in. You need a veteran though with that group. I think it helps having Chin. I think it helps having Wagner at linebacker, but I think you still need a veteran cornerback there. I think they have some good pieces, but they need to see how they fit within Quinn's scheme. Benjamin St. Juice, I think he is a freak athlete. I think he needs development just to kind of clean up his technique and, you know, try to avoid some of the penalties that he racked up, but he's a freak athlete. And I think there's still plenty of room to like really work with him and develop him. And he's got the makeup that so many teams love for a corner, right? That tall, long, he's fast. I mean, he's like a track star corner, right? I want stock in his kids. Cause his wife is also a track athlete. So I'm sure they will have amazing athlete kids. Emmanuel Forbes, I say you just don't know what he is still. No. I mean, you have to develop that kid. Clearly there's significant talent there. It's not coincidence that you put up the numbers he did in the SEC. But they have to really work on them to help that game translate to the pros. And I think they can. I hope this staff can, because I you know, you don't want to waste another first. But I think it would help to have a veteran in that cornerbacks room. So
I think they missed Chris Harris last year as a defensive backs coach. And I think a lot of this for Emmanuel is going to be up to Emmanuel and how he improves. And then clearly the coach is going to have influence in that, but it's always going to be up to the kid to ultimately do it, because you can't, you can only push so much. You can only teach so much. The person has to want to do it. I'm not saying he does or he doesn't, but I'm just saying, I'm not just going to put it all on, Jason Simmons here. Now it's all solved. And you know, Joe Witt and Dan Quinn, ultimately the kid's got to go do it himself, but the talent is there. And so if he does, I mean, seems like a good kid. There's nothing, I don't think there's no attitude issues. But it's more, you've got to go do it. And if you do, you can be a good player. But I would still like look for someone else just in case, whether it's in the draft or maybe even, like you said, a veteran, a Gilmore would be a 1 year deal type thing if they wanted to go that route. But I would certainly look for somebody else there. I mean, they need more help there.
And then, the one DB that I'm really excited to see in this defense is Derek Forrest. I just think he'd be a really good fit in this defense. I think he could put up even more numbers. I just like the way the kid plays. Yeah. I know he was injured last year. So just to see how they use him in the scheme, I think it'll be really interesting, especially with Cam gone and now with Chin there. Just, you know, how do they plan to use him?
Well, the other thing is, Nikki, along those lines is we've heard the word dog quite a bit. And it's, you know, like Dan Quinn's like, he likes that dog in guys. I mean, I think you're going to hear that a lot. And you hear some of these newcomers talk about, you know, he's got some dog in him. Derek Forrest has some dog in him.
Yeah.
Who likes to bark? I mean, like likes contact, and that sounds funny from him, but he does. And so I think he's got that mentality that I think they will like.
That's exactly it. When you think about sort of the thumper safety, he is a true thumper safety, but I think he's more versatile than that. I think he, you know, if developed a little more, I think he could be a good cover safety too. But you need, you know, sort of that the guy that's willing to take on the contact, because not all safeties are.
No.
There are a lot of center fielders out there that just don't want to take on the safety, but I think him and Shin could be a really interesting tandem. Really interesting.
I remain a big Quan Martin fan of his game, and I think he's going to be good too. The other one, Sam Howell getting traded.
Yep.
I mean, obviously, like, they were going to pick a quarterback.
Sure.
But how did you process that deal?
Once they signed Marcus Mariota, it seemed like they were probably going to move Sam Howell, because I mean, just to have a guy like that as third string, that's just too much value just sitting there.
Right.
You know, he has a year of starting experience. He's proven he has some really good traits that in the right system with the right people around him, I think he could be at least a very good backup.
Yeah.
Part I don't quite understand yet is the Marcus Mariota signing. You know, I to me, it signifies that, you know, you're going to have a young quarterback, and he's the type that can either help mentor that kid or step in and start early or in between if need be. But he's not the one I would have taken. I have questions about how things ended in Atlanta, which, yeah. I haven't spent enough time around him. I don't want to question a guy's leadership without being around him or talking about him. But at that whole incident, I have questions. And, you know, I think there's obviously a ton of talent there. It's just, if you're bringing somebody in primarily for leadership after that, I have questions. So,
right. I'm with you. That was an issue. That was something that popped up there. And so the one thing I wonder along those lines, Nikki, is he's coming to a situation where, you know, they're going to pick this guy. So you have to be, you know, I wonder if that'll make a difference.
Yeah. I mean, I think the good thing about Marcus Mariota is he's seen it all. He's been through it all. Like you said, he started, he's been benched, he's been cut. He's had bad moments. He's had some good moments. And I think that can only make a player better. Especially as they play through it and stick through it. But I really want to see, you know, how will he be in, you know, helping a younger player, developing a younger player. And it's not solely on him, obviously, but being that voice in the room that a younger guy needs, and the guy to show the way. Because I think that's important. At that position more than any other, frankly. Maybe he turns out to be very good in this role. I hope so. But that was the only one where I was like,
That's one. And I would agree with that. And cause like the other thing is, we saw how good Jacoby was last year.
Right. Right. And I would love to know more about why he did not come back. Was there not an offer? Did he not want to? Did he?
Yeah. Cause it seemed like from the start, it never seemed like it was going to be an option for him. And I don't know. And I couldn't talk to his agent because his agent is him. And so, but you know, what I also wondered, like, did, you know, Brian Johnson knows Mariota. He had him last year in Philly. Sure. The familiarity thing is a big deal to them. And then maybe for Jacoby, if he knows like they're going to pick player X this spot, now he's going to New England where they're going to pick a young guy too, most likely. So I don't know. And so who knows?
It might have been, you know, it was a better situation, New England. It just made sense. But, you know, he, in my mind, was that perfect type of backup.
He took care of Sam a lot. And Sam talked about that a lot. And then that's very, very important. It's just having a guy when you come off the field to help you and to be in your ear about, like, hey, don't forget about this. Look at this during the week, showing you how to prepare for game with the game film, et cetera. You know, Alex Smith was a great guy like that when he was hurt here. And, you know, so I think Carson Wentz was good with these guys a couple of years ago when he was hurt. So you need to have that guy that
can step in and win too, should anything happen, you know, and Jacoby can do that, you know.
Last thing then too, when you look at this roster, how much do you look at the rosters being appreciably better, or how do you view it? And it's also like, I always say like the roster, but it's also really the team, because you have to take into account the coaching, how they might be used. I think it's going to be better, especially on defense, but how do you look at the roster now after this week?
Yeah. I think it has a chance to be better. I'm now always hesitant to say it is better because I thought that last year, I thought that especially the secondary last year, they're deeper, they have much more talent, and it was, you know, frankly a train wreck. So on paper, I think they have a much better chance to be a quality team for the long term. I really like the plan. I really like the moves they've made. I like how aggressive they've been in free agency and aggressive in, you know, but methodical. I mean, they're not going after like the top money guys, which is, you know, and they have the money, but I really like how they've gone about it. I do think they have a very good chance to be a quality team, an underrated team, a team that, you know, others will have to look for, but I'm hesitant to say that they'll be better until we actually see them.
Well, we don't even know because we don't know how the quarterback's going to look or what level he can get to this year. We don't know who the left tackle is. I do think defensively, you know, but again, this is what looking at paper, but I think the combination of how these guys can be used, I think the quality of the coaching staff is going to be a big difference there. And then I really like Frankie Louvu. I think he's going to have a really good impact the way they're going to use him. And so, you know, just need to, but cornerback is still a question mark. So I think there's a lot to learn, but like what you said, and I guess maybe a better thing to ask would be the program is in a better spot, more so than the roster. Is the program in a better spot? Because it looks like this is, and you brought this up earlier, this is about building for the long term, not just trying to win this year.
Yeah. And I, cause to me, the two biggest issues in recent years, I hate to keep making comparisons, but I felt like they were really lacking in talent evaluation and development outside of, you know, whatever else they needed, you know, the quarterback, whatever. But just in talking about how they built their team, and I feel like there's much more confidence in the talent evaluation. I think that is absolutely Adam Peters' forte. I mean, he started from the very bottom as a scout and has been known for that throughout his career. And you're starting to see it by the, you know, the guys he's picked. You know, ultimately we'll see how it translates on the field, but I feel like they're in a much better place there. The development side, we'll see how this coaching staff handles it throughout training camp and throughout the season. So, I do like the beginnings of this. It instills much more confidence.
How much difference do you think it made to having front office, coaching staff, clear lines of your job, clear lanes that you're in? How much difference do you think that made?
Huge. And it works for some, like it works for Bill Belichick in New England, right? You know, I mean, and I understand why that appealed to Ron Rivera in coming here, you know, like having a say over the guys that you're coaching. Absolutely. But I think having that delineation, I think is important for the coach too. It gives some buffer, you know. He's not the one person that's being, you know, asked about every little move in the organization. It allows him to focus on just the field. But I also think just based on how they've done this so far, I'm not in the room, so I don't want to speak too much about it, but it does seem like there's some good collaboration there just on how they're going about picking these guys, because clearly there are players with connections to numerous people within the staff. Right. So I would imagine that a number of people have input on this, but ultimately it's Adam Peters' call. And I just think it's important to have sort of those buffers between the position, roles.
Would you say the vision was aligned?
It was an aligned vision. Yeah.
But it's true. And I do think, I do think too, to have like Adam Peters is in charge of this. There's no, like, I think there were times for Ron, you know, certainly over the last couple of years where, you know, you're in charge of this, but you need help here. But like, whose turn is it to then, you know what I mean? Like, it just, that's where things start to get blurry. And then, you know, someone else is doing this, someone else is doing that. And I think that's where, you know, that's why the clear lines to me is a big deal for this group. So I think that'll make a difference too. So I'm with you. I think this is set up better for the long haul, whatever they do this year, I still think it's set up better for the long haul.
Yeah. No, I agree with you 100%. My dogs are wrestling behind me. Just ignore that.
Well, my dog's 13 and a half and he's going to sleep most of the day again. Yeah. So there you go. Nikki, you're the best. There you go. Oh yeah. No, I would show you mine, but if I turn my camera, you're going to see like a couple of coffee mugs, a bunch of notepads, and you know, it's just, I'll be honest, like this week has been a blur. Been a and that's why I have two coffee cups here and multiple notebooks are out. And
yeah. Isn't it nice though, that we're not calling Congress, you know?
It is that, yeah. I don't think, like, it's funny because it's almost, you know, there, sometimes you get a thing at night, like, oh, they just signed somebody. I'm like, it's better than, oh, somebody just sent a letter to Congress. Somebody just filed something to the DEA or whatever. Right. Like, this is so much better. It's, it's not, I wouldn't say, like, listen, we're not digging ditches and doing things and curing, cancer.
Curing cancer.
It's just that it becomes a long day and it's, it gets busy, busy, busy. Yeah. That's fine. It's, but it's so much better to be writing about, like, oh my gosh, they just signed Bobby Wagner. I'd rather write about that 100 times out of 100 than, you know, like somebody calling and say, we're trying to smear this guy or we're doing this. I mean, it just, it was, it's
or a lot. Trying to track down all the people that could be involved in the purchase of the team.
Yeah.
You have Matthew McConaughey's publicist. No, I cover football. I'm sorry.
It's what you know what the hard part is, like, I'm still on some of these lists.
I know.
Mailing lists, like, no. And I have so much, I don't want to say.
It's getting serious back here. I hope you're winning. This. It is getting I feel like I should keep score or something. this is why we don't have nice things in my house.
There you go. Well, that's why you need the shop vac to maybe clean up for them, and there you go. That I'm telling you, it was a game changer. It was a game changer for me when I bought that.
Just come on, let me borrow.
I mean, you know, I use it this morning, I think my wife knows I use it because I have it, not because I necessarily always need to. But I want to I'm using my shop vac today. That's what I'm doing. Couple weeks, it's the power washer on the deck.
I love the power washer.
The power wash on the deck day is a great day. I don't know why, but it just is.
That's great. That's great.
There you go. Nikki, you're the best. Thanks a lot.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Thanks to Nikki for joining me. And thank you, as always, for tuning in. I'll be back with another podcast. This will be out for the weekend. So either Monday or Tuesday morning, not sure which, just pay attention. You'll see it. And there you go. Talk to you next time.